Next case is 00196, Midwest Fireworks Manufacturing Company versus Deerfield Township Board of Zoning Appeals. Mr. Conley.
Good morning, Your Honors, Counsel. My name is Craig Conley, and I represent the appellant, Jesse Carver. I know from observing oral argument in the past that this court, unlike some courts I've been before, actually reads the briefs before oral argument. So I see no need to rehash all the facts. I'm sure the court is familiar with it. What I would like to do, however, before the court questions me, is to point out within the appellant's list of additional authorities, I had cited to two cases that I think are quite persuasive, if not dispositive, of the issue before the court. One is a Supreme Court case, Fritz v. Messer, and the other is an appellate case, Cleveland Heights v. Lowe, which cites to and relies upon Fritz. The proposition of law, in a nutshell, in Fritz v. Messer, is that when it comes to zoning regulations, the benefits of those regulations accrue not just to the political entity involved, but to the neighboring and adjacent property owners involved. And I would quote from Fritz v. Messer at 633, the benefit to be derived from the observance of these zoning regulations accrues not only to the municipality, but to the abutting property owner. And in Fritz, the court found that based upon that premise, that the property owner, the neighboring and adjacent, I think the Fritz court called it an abutting property.
Is this an abutting property owner?
Yes, my client is immediately adjacent property owner. To clarify that, Your Honor, in the township.
I thought it was across the street.
In township law, however, Your Honor, the deed description go to the center of the right of way of the highway, so that the deed, they have a common property line de jure.
But
it is across the street.
Yes. Make it clear in my mind, it's not abutting right next to one another on the same side of the street. Correct?
That is correct.
This is across the highway.
It's a two-lane highway, yes.
Okay.
Except, Your Honor, on township law again, they are abutting.
Right.
Their deed descriptions meet. They have a common property line. De jure abutting.
When did your client move to this property?
My client has been there, I guess, 30 or 40 years, a long time.
When he moved there 30 or 40 years ago, was the property across the street in use at that time?
I don't know for sure, Your Honor, but I don't believe so. Not as a fireworks business. I believe that developed later.
What was
the fireworks business did develop before zoning was enacted.
What I'm trying to determine is, was there any activity going on the property across the street? Not fireworks, or but were there buildings on it?
I believe it was a vacant farmland. Right?
Vacant farmland. So he lived there before the fireworks factory was built.
That is my recollection. However, I don't believe it's necessarily within the record. It might be.
It wasn't in the record.
Sort of an extrapolated fashion by looking at the date of the various deeds.
Okay.
I notice it listed as an appellant is the Deerfield Township Board of Zoning Appeals. Does the governmental entity, the township, agree with your position?
I believe so. However, they did not file a brief in this action.
No, I know. Otherwise, I'd have known.
Yes. They did oppose it. On the other hand, I can't say with a straight face that they actively supported it.
They didn't file a notice of appeal?
No, Your Honor.
And didn't ask to join you in your brief?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Connolly, the Court of Appeals, as you know, decided that there wasn't enough evidence in the record to indicate that your client was an aggrieved party, even though your client lived across the street from a supposed very large fireworks manufacturing plant, I guess, that burned and blew up before. I'm not clear from the reading briefs exactly what evidence that the Court of Appeals, or what evidence is in the record with respect to his indicating he's an aggrieved person.
The evidence in the record, Your Honor, is that he's an alien and adjacent property owner. And under Princey, Messer, and Roper, and Shoemaker, as decided by this court, he is adversely affected whenever a zoning resolution is violated. The benefit of the zoning resolution goes to him, as well as to everybody else in the township.
So the law, I guess, in this case you would urge us to adopt is just that, that one doesn't need to show anything other than being in close proximity or abutting landowner, adjoining landowner, to prove that it or he is an aggrieved person under Staten.
I'd say that's correct in a nutshell, Your Honor, because I don't know what magic words an aggrieved person has to utter before a Board of Zoning Appeals or before a trial court, other than the fact that, hey, I live right next door, and this zoning resolution is designed to protect me, and it's being violated. And if indeed the zoning resolution is designed to protect the public health and safety, and it's being violated, it must adversely affect the people it intended to protect. And in Roper, this court, interpreting a previous version of 519.15 that used the term adversely affected rather than person aggrieved, this court found that Roper was such a person, and within Roper, at least within the opinion, it appears that Roper merely owned property somewhere within the township.
Can a neighboring property owner be an aggrieved party without being immediately adjacent?
I would think so.
Well, that's not what your proposition of law seems to want us to hold.
I don't need to pose that proposition law and broader.
Well, but if we say that, then every case following us hereafter is going to say you have to be immediately adjacent, contiguous. Whatever happened to that statute that said you had to serve everybody within 500 feet?
That statute's still in place.
We used to serve everybody that you could see or think ever went by there.
I believe the statute provides for contiguous property owners, which are defined as people across the street as well, even in municipalities where the property line doesn't meet at the center line of a highway. Mm-hmm. There is such a notice statute still in place. My proposition of law was designed to suit the facts of this case, but certainly this court could find that you don't need to be immediately adjacent or contiguous, but rather in close proximity.
Because we adopt that proposition, that means somebody two doors down couldn't be an aggrieved party. They might just as well be maybe more so affected next door, two doors down, than you would be across the street.
Well, Your Honor, if your question is, do I think the proposition of law should be broadened somewhat, yes, I do. But again, I designed it for the particular facts of this case.
Well, it also, your proposition also indicates that one of the part of the test is that the person is at least potentially adversely affected. What's the evidence in the record that your client would be potentially adversely affected if this building was constructed?
The evidence in the record, Your Honor, and I believe it might have been the Chief Justice that made reference to one of the justices this morning, was that there had been a fire and explosion on the property immediately across the street.
Now, counsel, you're talking a lot about the safety and the fire, but the Court of Appeals, and that's the Chief made the point, that the Court of Appeals said there wasn't evidence, and they say the only evidence was about the view that your client had from his tractor and that the size of the building was bigger, nothing about the safety issue, as I read the Court of Appeals opinion.
The Court of Appeals is so wrong, Your Honor, that's why I'm here today. The administrative record, there is testimony, there is newspaper clippings. There was no objection to the admissibility. There was a de novo hearing at the trial court.
Which hearing is this? The hearing where they sought to revoke it?
At the administrative level, that would be before the Board of Zoning Appeals. And by the way, I'd like to reserve a couple of minutes for rebuttal, if I may, as you can suggest.
You don't run out of time.
At the administrative level, there was submission of newspaper clippings showing the explosion, an aerial photograph showing the devastation. commentary about...
Well, that goes, really, doesn't that go to the merits of whether or not the permit should issue or be revoked, as opposed to standing?
No, it does not, Your Honor.
Okay.
Because the fire and explosion occurred 15 years earlier upon a non-conforming property. We submitted that into evidence for the proposition there is a significant health and safety concern that fireworks businesses are inherently dangerous, and this one happens to be proven dangerous. There was a massive explosion. People did go to the hospital. There was a boatload of fire people at the scene. It was a big deal. And it was happened to be the same fire explosion that destroyed these buildings that appellant, or appellees, falsified an affidavit 15 years later to build them 4 or 5 times their original size.
The destruction that occurred, was it more than half of the property?
I don't know. It was a number of buildings.
Because there's also another statute someplace that said a non-conforming use dies if, in fact, it isn't revitalized within whatever it is, a 2 or 3 year period, or if it is destroyed more than half.
Well, that was one of my client's arguments before the Board of Zoning Appeals and the Trial Court of Appeals Court, is that this affidavit purported to rebuild this structure. Actually, two structures burned down, replaced with one structure 4 or 5 times the size of the original two. That this occurred 15 or 16 years after they burned down. And you're correct, Your Honor, there is a 2-year reconstruction statute for non-conforming structures.
Those issues, I take it, the Court of Appeals set a hoop because they found that there was no standing here.
The Court of Appeals addressed some of the assignments of error, and then one or two of them did find moot, Your Honor. I don't recall, but I think that's the court is correct there. Anything else? If not, I'd like to save a few minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Fanley. Mr. Ludwig.
My name is Mark Ludwig, the firm of Cole County. With me, counsel table is Michael Gold, an associate office who's assisted in the case. Also, present in the courtroom is the CEO of Midwest Fireworks, the appellee in this case. If it pleases the court, my privilege to appear here today on behalf of Midwest Fireworks, which is one occupant of land which is indisputably non-conforming use. In answer to Mr. Justice Sweeney's question, I believe, having had the privilege of representing the company and some of its successors for over 20 years, seemingly much in zoning litigation instituted by Mr. Carver. We did come to the land, Mr. Justice Sweeney, before zoning was enacted, but after Mr. Carver was there. And the land had been principally farming use. We acquired 86 parcels, 86 acres, in 3 separate parcels, one parcel of which had a fence which divided it from the other parcels. But all the land was acquired before zoning went into effect. The proper proposition of law that this court should adopt, and I apologize, you will be accused of not giving enough guidance to the attorneys in this state, because it's a negative proposition, and that is, in the absence of evidence of standing introduced at the administrative or trial court level, mere adjacency is not sufficient to meet a standard of persons of reason.
Counsel, can you give me some examples of what you think would fit a reasonable standard?
I will, Your Honor. I would invite this court's protection when Mr. Carver finds one of those people and brings them against us, because you're now asking him to make suggestions of future lawsuits against my client, and I'm afraid these words will come back on me. But I think someone who clearly would have standing is someone who comes in and says, look, here's a letter. And again, whether that's good evidence or not later on in the trial court level, I'm not saying. But here's a letter from my real estate appraiser. And while I am de jure a boundary, there's only a road dividing our properties, I'm pretty sure that building this additional building is going to decrease the value of my property. I have a property right and a value that's going to be directly affected by this litigation, by this building.
So someone who comes in and says, right across the street from me is the fireworks factory, and it blows up some of those fireworks that come shooting into my home, that's not good enough.
That's not good enough because there's no evidence that that ever happened. There's no evidence that that's going to happen. There's no evidence that it could happen. In fact, evidence, if it was introduced on that subject, if someone was introducing evidence on that subject, would be good just to come.
You don't think this plain common sense, everyday knowledge of fireworks can tell you that can happen? I mean, we've all been to fireworks and we've all seen things go awry and things go shoot into the audience. Why would, if you have a whole building go up, why would one of those rockets go sideways and sit up?
Well, Your Honor, when it comes to common sense about fireworks, we can write volumes. If Your Honor, please, the description you just gave are shells that are used in public displays. They are not bottle rockets and firecrackers, items of which, since they are Class C items, former Class C, no longer the United States, the United Nations definition, but they're former Class C items, can be housed in buildings. The temperatures inside the buildings can reach over 160 degrees for 48 hours and nothing explodes. In fact, Your Honor, storage in a building such as this is safer than storage in the prior history that we have, which is...
Except that you have a very large piece of evidence moving in this case, it blew up. No matter what you say about what should or could have did, it blew up.
Your Honor, what we have in this case is a very able counsel who has used some adjectives, who has everyone excited about a 1982 fire, and it has become nearly Hiroshima in terms of its description. The Chief Justice, and you have joined in the phrase, blown up. Your Honor, there was a firework, and I've got news for you. Fireworks burn. They don't necessarily explode. Plastic can burn. Did the buildings burn in 1982? Yes. Were they more than 50% of the full property? Your Honor, we're back to the zoning classifications that have given me. What is the property? If you mean 86 acres, come on, Your Honor, they weren't more than 50% of the property. If you mean, were they more than 50% of the 12 buildings then existing in 1982, no, they weren't more than 50% of the 12 buildings. Have we ever abandoned our use of this property? No, we never have. Did two buildings burn down sufficiently that it's best to replace them than remodel them? Yes, they did.
What about the size? That was all that really concerned me. Really.
Now, yes, Your Honor, size certainly counts in this case. Our position with that the, first of all, let's keep in mind, the State Farm...
Accepting your argument that he doesn't even have any standing to raise size.
So
okay.
If we get the size, if we have to get the size, the accurate answer there is careful reading of the zoning ordinances, which we tried to argue in the trial court, which the Court of Appeals didn't address because they found it approved, is that the size is approximately the same. The area of use, what existed before was two buildings, and let's say they're 1,200 square feet. In that area of use, even Helen will agree that there were a number of trailers parked around it. What was being used was approximately 7,200 square feet. You're storing fireworks in two old toll buildings. You're storing fireworks in four or five trailers parked around these two buildings. So what's being used, the area of use in 82 was not expanded. We go to the prosecutor's office, particularly after having the settlement, which no one will address, the Court of Appeals didn't address. But we go to the prosecutor's office and we get the zoning certificate that is based on an affidavit that fundamentally can be called, they love to call false. But what it basically says is true. This one building I'm going to build will replace the area of use of two buildings and a number of trailers. It's not getting any bigger.
Why would you go to the prosecutor's office?
Because they are the legal advisors to
okay.
the township trustees.
And they advised the township trustees that you were in good order and everything was in accordance with the zoning ordinance.
We don't even go there until we have the state fire marshal approval,
yeah.
Because the marshal has to say, yeah, I'm going to let you do this if you can get zoning approval. We go get the zoning approval, and we go to the county building department. Now, even if Carver has standing, and Helen Carver doesn't have standing, the proposition that this court must not adopt, that adjacency means adversely and or potentially adversely affected. And or potentially adversely affected. What evidence of potentially adversely affected is there? There isn't any, and there were two opportunities to introduce that evidence. An opportunity to introduce that administrative level and an opportunity to trial court. This doesn't happen. Person aggrieved means is the language that is chosen in the statute to give you the right to appeal. How are you hurt, Mr. Carver? Mr. Carver's answer is, I'm hurt because I fear there will be another explosion. And if it pleases Ms. Justice Stratton, the potential of maybe something will fly across the street and land maybe on my house is why I'm afraid there's no evidence of that in there.
So does he have to wait until it happens before he can bring a brief action?
No, he does not. Is he allowed to bring an appeal of a zoning certificate already existing when that appeal is untimely, when it is filed with the wrong township official, and under zoning ordinances that we have been trying for 20 years to have someone look at and say they're so vague they can't be enforced? In answer, under those circumstances, he doesn't get this administrative appeal. Your Honor, you've asked me to suggest who might have standing. Please don't ask me to suggest what alternate theories you should use to sue us again. But that's basically what the fear that I have. This, you know, originally, when I've been trying to get everyone to talk about it, and in the Court of Appeals, I hoped I had that resolution. I don't have life insurance. But if he had standing, this case still has to go back to the Court of Appeals for them to examine issues that we found.
That was going to be my question to you, I guess, because if we do agree with Mr. Connolly, I'm not saying I do, but if the majority of the court would agree with him, that your suggestion is that we should not decide the case of merits here because the Court of Appeals did not decide some issues. It seemed to me to be fairly important issues. The trial judge didn't decide. So you would ask us to remand it to the Court of Appeals.
For that consideration, Your Honor, it's not that I don't enjoy being here, it's not that I wouldn't love being back, but I don't want to be back on the settlement issue. I don't think we need to get to that settlement issue, and of course, Joseph is right for finding, at least as to this building, Mr. Carver failed if we had any standing, therefore we don't have to go any farther.
How does a trial court go so wrong? What happened? I mean, the trial court's there, on the ground, if you will, and knows the community.
I don't like the commission. Maybe I did darn poor lawyering, Your Honor, but maybe it's darn good lawyering on the other side. Obviously, Mr. Connolly has succeeded in having this Hiroshima-like explosion endangering people all over the community. At least, if there's a very emotional reaction to celebration of our constitutional freedom.
Well, but even if I did use the word explosion, I looked back at the trial court's opinion, and he said destroyed, which is probably a better description other than taking the word from one of the parties' briefs. But let's assume that it was destroyed by fire. I guess I have the same concern as Justice Stratton, is that how do we, to me, it just seems logical or common sense that if you have a house across the road from a fireworks plant, that for purposes of saying, I'd like to say something about the zoning here, not to stop it, certainly, but to have a voice about it, that you are an aggrieved person because you do have an interest in what happens with that piece of property, how it's being used. And I guess I'm still looking for a...
Your Honor, your interest is unchanged. Whether this has 14 buildings and 2 burned out bolts and a slab, or it has 15 buildings because of one of the buildings that's been rebuilt. As the across the street property owner, your interest is totally unchanged, unaffected. Your worry is there, but your worry is there, Your Honor, and has been there since 1979 when, oh my gosh, the fireworks factory is going in across the street. That's why you become chairman of the zoning commission and help write the zoning laws.
But don't you get more worried the closer the buildings get to your property?
And these buildings are no closer to the property than the other buildings were. The use is no closer.
I'm saying you may be afraid of buildings that are on the other side of the acre, but it's a little bit further away, so it's a little safer. Now they're going to rebuild the factories and the parts that were destroyed.
You know?
That you sat there and watched the fire jumps, watched the fire burn, and have this great view of the house. How does that not agree with those?
They are storage buildings with glassy eyes.
And isn't there another key to it? It's very speculative. It has to be an organization. It must have to have media. Very lost. And what we're talking about is very speculative.
And God willing, you have, Your Honor, 20 years ago when the state fire marshal had no authority, and when fire suppression systems and showrooms were not required, but many might argue that construction standards today are better than they were 20 years ago, that this building that's built is safer than the two buildings that were there. And Your Honor, I don't think we're going to start taking notice of things. Buildings are generally safer than storing stuff in a storage trailer. And it's undisputed that that area was used, two buildings and a number of storage trailers, as part of it thrown in the back. Would you prefer to be across the street from a medical waste disposal facility? I'm not sure. That's another question. Are there other uses across the street that are equally upsetting? It's true. I mean, they're upsetting news, Mr. Carroll. There was no zoning in effect at the time we began our business, and we have properly used that business. And we cleared the hurdle to build these buildings with every agency involved. Again, the state fire marshal's office has said it's safe. Again, the county building permit, after we have the zoning commissioners. This is not a case where we are...
Aren't those factors that if we find how it has been and we let it go forward, then can't you come in with all those factors and say, you know, he may feel aggrieved, but these are all the reasons why he should not be denied. And that's then the balancing act to do if you find
I think the opportunity for that time came in past, and we didn't have to respond to anything because Mr. Carver didn't do anything at either of those levels. And now he wants to say, well, wait a minute, if I fail to prove standards like the Court of Appeals said, reinstate it and let's go back and try it again. Is that what you're suggesting, Your Honor? Not this time. That was very clear he could have done that at the original hearings, especially when the permit is revoked and by a board who doesn't have authority to revoke something.
How long a period of time was there between the granting of the permit and the revocation?
Months, the building was up. Right?
Time for detrimental reliance.
Your Honor, the building was up.
Time,
we were
for,
under roof.
Time for detrimental reliance.
Yes. Your Honor, we knew that the permit was going to go through because we had worked with the county prosecutor's office to make sure that we met what they wanted, so the trustees were objecting to this. So we could get under roof.
So you started building before you got the permit?
Well, Your Honor, the ground broke already. The ground we broke.
Don't tell me that.
No, Your Honor, I'm not saying there was one piece of that. When I say the ground was broke, the slabs are already there.
I know.
The slabs have been there. We've been using them for 18 years. So in that sense, we've already broken ground. We're building around footers that have existed since before zoning. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, by the way. Mr. Connolly, you say a little over 3 minutes.
We do it all the time. We used to fight that all the time.
You'd like a peach orchard, probably.
You get there some.
Sorry, your client would like a peach orchard across the road.
Oh, we just saw this.
If there were peaches in those buildings, it might not matter, but what's in those buildings is fireworks. And the more buildings, the more fireworks. And the more fireworks, the more potential for harm. And by the way, one of the justices had referred to the trial court's opinion. At page 23 of the appendix of the appellant's brief, the trial court did in fact find that these buildings had exploded, not just destroyed, exploded. And the evidence adduced at both the trial court and the administrative level were an explosion. A concrete bunker was leveled. And as far as potential, Justice Stratton's exchange with Mr. Ludwig, of course zoning protects against potential. That's its purpose. All of our statutes, criminal statutes, they protect against potential. Of course, that's what it's all about.
I take it there was some injury to your client's property in that past explosion, the explosion that left a bunker. I take it there was some damage to his property.
Not that I recall, and nothing to that effect in the record, so I certainly wouldn't say it with a straight face. It's a pretty big chunk of property, but there were explosions and fire trucks and sparks flying around setting grass on fire. With reference to the affidavit, I know Mr. Ludwig is attached to the appendix of the appellant's reply brief. Mr. Ludwig talked about an area. Well, as Yogi Berra might say, that ain't what the affidavit says. The affidavit says we're going to replace these two buildings with a building of the same size. It's blatantly false.
Counsel, as I said here, listen to this discussion, you suggested a proposition of law. Potential for this case of the proposition of law could be far-reaching. We live in a time in which everybody wants to park next door.
He's telling us.
Just want to stay there. So, if you have undeveloped land across the road, for example, and someone proposes a development, let's assume it's not a fireworks factory, but something beautiful, but it's going to bring a lot of people across the road. The records where you were down, lots of us. Would you be within the meaning of the syllabus that you have?
Well,
you have
to give me enough facts, Your Honor, but I would propose that you are agreeing to whatever is going on across the street. Peach Orchard.
So you have my house and it's barely across the road, and now there are going to be upscale condos. But instead of an empty field, it's going to be thousands of people. Are you an agreed person?
Not necessarily.
Under the syllabus that you have, using your very narrow language.
The syllabus was intended, Your Honor, and I don't discuss it on our program. The syllabus is intended that if the use across the street violates zoning, that per se adversely affects the neighboring adjacent property owner. And that's the issue here. And that's why, and again, perhaps not artfully drafted enough, but I was tailoring that to these specific facts. It's clear that this extension of a non-conforming use 15 years after the fact, 4 or 5 times the area, violates zoning. So that if the use across the street violates zoning, and zoning is designed to protect the guy across the street, it is per se adverse impact upon the neighboring adjacent property owner.
Mr. Connolly, do you agree with Mr. Ludwig that if we were to reverse Court of Appeals' decision here, that it should be remanded to the Court of Appeals to decide the issues that it did not decide?
No, I do not. As I understand the rules of this court, don't mean to lecture the court, I mean, it would be wrong. This court has the authority to reverse, remand, or modify. And I would suggest that what this court should do is to reinstate the common pleas court decision, rather than, as Mr. Ludwig suggested, have us come back here two or three times, which is probably what would result upon a remand.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
The case is submitted. You'll be advised for opinion.